Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is another Football Friday here on the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. And Steve will soon be there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. A great sales staff that is there for you and not just there for the sale. And a service department that is there for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, and all the routine maintenance. It's all part of that Sunbury Motors guarantee we talk about every single day. And, of course, for that wonderful service department, they're looking for more technicians. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in the quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment and towing departments. Whether you're an experienced technician, entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they'd love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, every Friday show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to stock up now for another big football weekend. High school football tonight, of course, across the area. Heading out to Penn State Northwestern tomorrow. Bucknell's back home. Homecoming tomorrow up at Christie as the Bison take on Lafayette. Plenty of choices. And then, of course, NFL on Sunday. Eagles welcoming Doug Peete back to town. That'll be a big one if you can find a... if you have a Sunday ticket or find another place to go, but bring your stuff with you. Steelers-Jets this weekend. There's so much football to be ready for. Start of October as well. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. They roast those peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. And, of course, six great flavors of slushies, although starting to head out of that realm. It's going to be a little bit cooler now. It's been a little bit cooler the last couple weeks, but you never know. You may want one anyway. Not going to stop you from getting it. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Today, we got Phil Steele rejoining us today, recapping what he's seen so far across college football, across the Big Ten, thoughts on Penn State. Very curious to see what he has to say about that. And then the King will join us at 4:35 for our picks for this week. So that's what we got coming up today. And now, for me at least, we'll see. I'm sure Steve will give his thoughts in his normal nostalgic way, as we've talked about before. But I start today's show very confused. A, because I'm trying to follow a story involving the Miami Dolphins off the field. Shocking. And of course, this of course happens to them in the midst of a 3-0 start. Is everything that's happened with Tua Tagovailoa. Of course, you saw the hit last night again. All the questions coming into the game last night. It was ugly. It was absolutely ugly. It was tough to watch. And the fact that his parents were there and he hugged them before the game. I mean, when I saw that after I saw the hit, I was just sick to my stomach. But with that, it's definitely brought a little bit of outrage out of me today. So I hope you're ready for it. Because I'm confused because I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. What I can tell you, though, is somebody's not telling the truth. And I wouldn't be shocked if it's from the Miami Dolphins, led by Stephen Ross, who was one of the most fraudulent, gutless owners, not only in the NFL, but in sports. Now, I don't know exactly what, if he had any role at this with his medical staff, but what I'm saying is, anything under Stephen Ross, nothing shocks me, based on what we've seen from the Dolphins organization the last several years. Let's just start there. But secondly, we get into how things were handled with this game in particular last night. We know how what the questions were from Sunday's game. But coming in from last night, he's obviously put on the stretcher. He's taken to the hospital. Dolphins say it's head and neck. He had movement in all of his extremities, which was good, was alert and conscious. He's able to get discharged from the hospital. He flies home with the team, which is great. Then you hear from Mike McDaniel today, the head coach of the Dolphins, on some to get some more clarification as to what happened last night. And he mentioned during this, as he's emotional, saying that he's only concerned about the man, not the player. Saying that he watched some TV show on his phone last night with Tua on the plane ride back, and Tua was laughing and whatever, that's fine. And then I think it was Will Blackman, in fact, that tweeted this out. It makes total sense. I thought if somebody is dealing with concussion-like symptoms, has any sort of head injury, you're not supposed to be on technology. Yet he was for the entire plane ride. And I'm supposed to believe that you're concerned about his well-being? I know that's a small thing, but, I mean, what are we doing here? That starts with number one. But then, now let's go back to Sunday and everything leading up to this week based on different reports I've seen from NFL Network today. The NFL's chief medical officer said today Tua was extensively examined for concussion-like symptoms every day leading up to the game, even though he wasn't in concussion protocol. And it seems like there was the independent neurologist that was doing the checks, as is per the CBA and per the concussion protocol. But yet he wasn't in the concussion protocol. That doesn't make sense to me at all whatsoever. If you're going to do all this extensive checking, why isn't he in the concussion protocol already? Why? Whether you want to call Sunday's injury a head or neck, if you're doing all of this extensive exams for concussion-like symptoms, then why is he in concussion protocol? Does anybody hear themselves with how stupid that sounds? So now, I'm just speaking from a pure NFL fan, period. But let alone being a Dolphin fan, I don't know what to believe. I don't know if anybody has any credibility right now with that Dolphins organization as to what was done and what wasn't for Tua's injury the last two games. So we have him watching movies on the way back from on the plane ride after he suffered that, what everyone definitely knows was serious head trauma.
How many people do you want fired now? I just want just an inventory here in the first few minutes.
I haven't put in a margin on it yet, but it's definitely quite a lot.
Oh, a lot of people fired. Well, good.
It's definitely quite a lot.
So how does the system work now? I mean, in all the experience you've had in dealing with the guys that are injured?
I'm going on based on what on my knowledge of the concussion protocols, which wasn't even used. And this is my other problem, too. I don't even really know exactly what to believe now, either, because it's inconsistent with the league itself.
That's why I want to see what the investigation last weekend shows before I really then give a commentary on it. I want to see what that investigation shows. Like, did he actually have to go through a protocol? Did he pass a protocol? Was it actually a back injury? I mean, it didn't look good. That's what I want to know first. When it comes to injuries, right, what's interesting is that everyone thinks the coach has a lot of power on injuries. They have about the least amount of power when it comes to injuries.
Yes, that is definitely false.
So it comes down to three people: doctor, trainer, usually in combination, and then the player. So there are two types of players that do become difficult for doctors and trainers to deal with. One is the gung-ho, I'm playing no matter what guy. And that's difficult for them to deal with because they've got to pull them aside like, hey, look, this is what's best. You're not playing. And I'm not going to clear you to play. And they, you know, I want to get back out there. I can do what I can do. I can make it. And, you know, no, you can't make it. You're gonna have to, it's better for you to sit out this week, and we're going to sit you. Okay? Now, the second person that's difficult for training staff and medical staff to deal with is the one where they sit down and they look at it and go, well, I have to say this. These are extremely unimpressive x-rays. Yeah, but I still feel it doesn't quite feel right. It's, I got a twinge, you know. And again, because the player says that, guess what happens? Does the player play? No. The player has veto power. Now then it's up, you know. Now finally, when it gets to the coach and everybody says, yeah. Okay. Well, now it is up to the coach on a coach's decision as to whether they're playing said player or not. They can say, no, I know you're clear, but I'm not going to play him. They can do that. Mike Tomlin did that once with Ryan Clark, I think.
Yeah, with the sickle cell in Denver.
Yeah. And, you know, that was his call. That's the call he made. Everybody respected him for it. Okay. Right? So, I mean, but that's after everybody else checked the box and said yes, yes, and yes. Okay. Well, the final one is the yes or no from the coach. Okay. And that's, you know, and that's how it works. But before I deliver any, this is beyond the pale. Because as soon as his head, as soon as he was being flung, I mean, I didn't even wait. I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. All right, you could just tell just by the way he was flung to the turf. Like, I thought that was a little... I was surprised it wasn't flagged, to be honest with you. Because it was really aggressive, I thought. And then to see him, like, geez. But I want to see what the independent investigation shows first about last weekend. To have any proper commentary on what happened last night. I frustrate you that I'm too conservative in these regards. I understand that.
Well, I find your point about being surprised it wasn't flagged interesting, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, I was mildly surprised that there wasn't a flag thrown either. And nobody really brought that up on the broadcast from the bits and pieces I saw after that.
I just thought, not because he got hurt, even if he wasn't hurt, I thought when he was in the process of throwing him, like, I remember exactly what I was thinking, well, that's aggressive. Right? And then he hit his head and went, oh, he's not getting up from that. So... But let's see what the independent investigation about last weekend's Bills-Dolphins game says first. Then it would allow me to give a better feel about what happened last night. In the typical talk show world, where, like, nobody leaves the studio ever and has no knowledge, and I'm not kidding about that, right? People are expected to deliver. Yeah, I ought to be fired. And this person, no. Let's just slow down. Let's see what the other thing says first. then it'll unlock the door as to what the real commentary should be about what happened last night. That's how I'm approaching it. Things have to be in. I'm surprised we don't have that done yet. I'm surprised that didn't take a couple of days and then that was it. But
because they didn't think that this injury was going to happen last night.
Well, I don't know. I mean, even if he's playing Sunday, I'd want to know. There's a sense of urgency that he's playing on Thursday night. You want to have it cleared up, isn't it?
There is, yeah. But if you got that urgency to clear him, then you should have with it should come the investigation.
Because this is something I want to point out, though. All right? Obviously, I know Wayne Sebastianelli. I've known him for almost 30 years. And Greg Billy, these are the two Penn State doctors, and Andy Muttenham, the football trainer here at Penn State. You know what's really important to them? Their integrity. Are you going to put your professional reputation on the line to clear a guy to win a football game?
Bingo.
That's why I'm saying be careful about how far everybody goes with the Tua thing until the investigation is done, because people do have their own integrity on the line here. And at NFL games, there are independent spotters that have the ability at any time to pull a player out of a game if they have any question. And it's happened. Guy's gone back to the locker room. He's gone back to the locker room. They must have thought they saw something. And they have to go through all the protocols. So they do have that in place. And I am not in any way, shape, or form defending the league. I'm telling you what the protocols are. And if Wayne Sebastianelli says a guy can't go, then there's no question the guy can't go. Have there been times where Wayne has said to me on any time over the last 30 years, he can go, but he says he's not quite right? Right? That's where Wayne and I have had the old running joke, and it's Wayne's actually the one that says this to me. I said, how is he? He says, nah, Steve, he's got extremely unimpressive x-rays. You know? But the player says he doesn't feel right. Guess what happens when the player says that? Player can't go. Coach can't force him in there. Hey, the doctor says you're clear, you're playing. No, it doesn't feel right. Player can't go. That is actually how the system works. Now, did the system not work on this one? I don't know. That's why I want to see the investigation first, then make a commentary on it. Matt, on the other hand, would like to again roll out the Macatrillo guillotine. I mean, you excel at firing people. How many people have you fired on this show over the years?
Ooh. We're getting close to about as many games as you broadcasted in your entire career.
Ooh, it's a lot. Well, I guess we never did answer that on the air, did we?
I thought we did, but maybe we didn't.
I don't think we did.
Okay.
Because somebody asked, what is it, Dwayne Stats for the Tampa Bay Rays?
Yes.
He just did his, 7,000th game? By the way,
correct.
The Phillies in a major shock are winning 3-0 in the bottom of the seventh. Worst.
Oh, by almighty!
Worst record in baseball since September 15th, 3-10 coming into the day. But they caught a break. It's the Nationals. Up 3-0, bottom of the seventh. So, yeah, what are the numbers? Basketball is 1,188. So the Quinnipiac game, I'll hit 1,200. How about that? Okay? Football tomorrow will be number 280. And then if you include my time as the third guy, that gets me up to 367. How about that? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure if people Somebody asked. That's the only reason I... Because somebody asked, and I didn't think we ever answered it, so... Let's see. Who's tonight's victim? Jordan Lyles. Giving up 25 home runs. What do you think? Tonight's the night?
I wouldn't be shocked.
I would be. He's not... I mean, he's really not doing much of anything lately.
I mean, I think it will happen sometime this weekend because he's had so much success against the O's, with home runs in particular. In fact, I think he leads the MLB with home runs against the O's, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw that just a little while ago.
He leads the league in home runs against everybody this year.
Yeah, but especially the O's.
Meanwhile, Ohtani's out last night throwing a no-hitter into the eighth inning. Judge doesn't do that. I mean, the bottom line is Ohtani's a more valuable guy.
Cool.
You are so prejudiced toward your players. It's unreal. You can't recognize anybody's good. They all stink in your world, but not Aaron the Wonderful.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Stock up for the weekend right now. Stock up for your tailgate right now. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, live by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewer's Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, which is 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. So, how many names are on your fire list right now for this incident? I assume that the coaches, the GM, the owner, medical staff,
definitely. Stephen Ross has always been on my fired list from several years ago.
The center? Teddy Bridgewater?
No. Not there. It is what it is
there. Well, no. I mean, Teddy could have looked over and said, I think you're good to go.
I would say the medical staff and Stephen Ross. But like I said before, he's always been on my fire list for a while now.
I mean, I'm just checking and making sure. I mean, I feel like it's always important on this show when it comes to these moments where you like to just take anybody and just can them. I just like to let you run with it. It's always fun. You're very good at firing people in the air.
Thank you.
It's a strong suit of yours.
I take pride in that.
I can tell. I didn't say I did, but I can tell.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell? Kirk Herbstreit?
Rogers getting close. Kirk Herbstreit, no.
Al Michaels?
Absolutely not. What are you kidding?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't make a big enough deal of it for you. I don't know.
No, actually, I know that the TNF broadcast has got a lot of criticism. I actually thought Al did a pretty good job that he, for all things considered. Now, I didn't watch halftime or the post game, so I can't really speak to that. I know that's got the blunt of the criticism, but for the portion I saw, I thought Al was fine.
Al's always fine.
Not only that, too, I also liked the fact that they brought in their own sports doc or sports medicine doc to kind of explain what happened.
I freely admit I watched the first half. I saw the play. I'd also like to point out that I fell asleep in the second half, so I didn't see.
Me too, yeah.
I fell asleep in the third quarter.
Yeah, I was in bed after 14-6.
So I have no idea whether they brought in a medical doc or not to explain it. It's all news to me. I sat there and went, okay, you say so. Okay. So I admit, I did fall asleep last night. I had some long days this week. Starting at 7 a.m., going to 8 at night, things like that. So I was like, okay. I was just kind of sitting there. I think it was 14-12. I'm like, oh, I'm gone. So that's just me, though. So do you have a game tonight?
I do. I will actually be at Lewisburg-Danville tonight myself for TV on the sidelines once again.
Oh, good. I'm sure you'll do a great job like you always do.
Thank you.
And don't forget about our YouTube. Okay, YouTube channels to watch Sealands Grove and Shikellamy. Sounds like the Sealands Grove game could be a really good one tonight. I can tell there is a little apprehension about the Shikellamy game tonight. Is that fair?
That is absolutely fair. In fact, I think for Sealands Grove Mifflinburg, I think that's the best game of the week in the area, to be honest with you.
Good.
But then you're 100% correct about Shikellamy.
That is a good.
It's unfortunate.
Well, but let me say something about high school football for a moment. In the last 10 years, how many really good games have there been? Like, I'm talking about across the board, everybody. Look at the scores from across the state. I hate to say this, there are not a lot of really good games. A lot of the games are blowouts.
I pretty much concur.
Why? I mean, I know they're doing everything they can to match up based on size of school, correct?
Yes.
I mean, they're trying to match up size of school, things like that, so it should be comparable school size, usually comparable size roster. Right?
Yep.
And yet, we see 42-0, 35-7. Not always, but it's something I was talking to Joe Putnam about. And this is in the western part of the state. He does games on Friday night. And he had Berlin and Winbur. Now, I know here it's New Berlin, but in the west, Berlin is the name of the town. And they were playing Winbur. And I'm trying to think. Berlin won 14-0. And this is last Friday night. And by the way, and Belfont beat Phillipsburg Osceola 9-8. And I said, what's interesting about those two games is that you don't see many of those games anymore. I feel like in the last 10 years, we see a lot of 56-0, 56-7, 35-7, 42-14, like margins. Am I wrong about this, or is my perception out of whack?
No, I think you're pretty much there for the most part. I mean, just for me, for all the games that I've covered this year, they've all been at least two score margin by the final score by the end of the game.
If I'm not talking two scores, man.
I'm saying at least two scores they've been.
I mean,
nothing's been close.
A lot of these games are 4-score games.
Yeah.
5-score games. I mean,
that's probably what I'm looking at tonight with Lewisburg-Danville.
Danville has got to be it. I mean, and you don't ever want to take away from it going into the game. So going into the game, I don't want to take away from it because Lewisburg could put together a tremendous effort tonight, make it a great game, maybe even win it. You don't know. That's what makes sports so intriguing. You don't know. So I'm basing my commentary on looking over the last 10 years of final scores. I'm like going, oh, man, that wasn't close. That game wasn't close. Then I start looking at other scores besides just, because on the WKOK scoreboard, it's not just the three schools we put there. We put scores of a bunch of other games on there. Mount Carmel did this, you know.
Yeah, mostly across District 4, yeah.
Right, but across District 4. And a lot of the scores are not close. I mean, that's my perception of it.
I think it all points out to, going back to the conversation you had yesterday with Greg and with Chief, numbers, especially on the lines. That's where it all comes down to. Talent, but especially in that area.
But this is where I find it to be a bit unusual. If you're playing in a district schedule, you're not going to have a 2A playing a 5A. Right? For the most part, if 3A is in 3A, they might venture out and play a 4, but for the most part, they're playing other 3As, right?
I'm almost 100% sure that's correct. You're not. It's not like you're going to have... You're definitely not having like a single A playing like a 4, 5, 6A. You may have 1A playing a 2A or 3A maybe at the most, and at most you're playing, bottom line, up to two classes ahead of you, if that.
I'm only bringing it up just as a point of conversation. I have no commentary to make as to why. I don't know. I'm not close enough to know. I mean, to be honest with you, I've never gone to a Selins Grove or Shikellamy game, and it's going to be long odds if I ever do, only because it's 75 miles away on a Friday night for me. I think the last high school game I went to was a state high game. And I did go last year, and I walked in, and they said, hey, you should be on the sidelines. I said, okay. So I watched from the sidelines. I said, okay. They said something like, well, you put in the stands, it's going to be a problem. I said, oh, okay. Because I get rowdy now. It's, I think they were, I don't know why, but I think they were, I just stood on the sidelines and watched. I think they were trying to keep people away. How about that?
Yeah.
I think that was the intent.
Understandable.
And so I watched maybe a half of it there, and then I kind of slipped out. And I love going to high school games on a Friday night. Like take tonight. You know, it's overcast. But the air is crisp and feels great, and, you know, the band sounds great. You know, you're looking at the color guard and the sounds of the cheerleaders and the smell of the concession stands and, you know, the game of football itself and the sound of the crowd. I mean, I love that. I love it. It's just then I sit down, because every Friday night, and I don't care, you know, whether I'm home or on the road. So I'm in Montgomery. And I was checking out what was going on with our local teams here. You know, get a chance to watch it on the YouTube channel. Turned out we had dinner early. And do that. So on the road, I'm either checking out action or I'm checking out the scores. And I'm always struck by the margins of these games of the scores. And that's... In fact, it's going to take me what? Just seconds here to look it up. Here, WKOK scoreboard. Okay, high school scores. High school football scoreboard. Okay. There's a tribute video to the suit. What is that about?
S-U-I-T, that spells suit!
Okay, so Mifflinburg, Shikellamy tonight, 6:37, Bloomsburg at This is for the month, right? Okay.
Yeah, just keep scrolling down. You'll get to last week. Starts with Chicken Lemmy Sealants Grove 35-7.
Yeah. Let me just see here. I got into the wrong one there. So I get into week 5, 35-7. Okay, Central Columbia Lewisburg was a good game, 20-8. But Danville, 49-14 over Southern Columbia. Mount Carmel, 41-7. Muncie, 49-19. Wyalusing, 26-0. Okay, Warrior Run Northwest looks like it was a good game, 33-19. Susquehanna, 35-21 over Lime Mountain. Jersey Shore, 63-24.
But as you've heard, that's been Jersey Shore all year.
Yeah, but this is everybody all year. Hughesville, 28-0. Yeah. Milton, 42-13. Week before, 49-6. 54-0. 41-19, 40-0. 34-6, 34-10, 57-14. These are not good games. Muncie, 56-15, 35-7. Then we get a couple good ones here. Danville beat Loyal Sox, 17-14. Sounds like Montoursville. Central Columbia was a good one, 35-21.
Yep.
Then the week before that, 23-3, 63-0. Really? 69-0. 42-0, 55-7, 72-6.
Yep.
Now, let's be fair. Bloomsburg beat Hughesville, 18-14. Tri-Valley, Lime Mountain, 35-28. Good. Those are good games. Mifflinburg beat Shamokin, 35-21. But, like, Montoursville beat Lewisburg, 24-21. But these, look at all that. 35-13, 70-6, 43-0, 52-0, 27-0, 48-14, 75-21, 42-14, 35-0. This is not a good trend. 59-14, 62-14. A lot of these are games that suit it. Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
And he's aware.
But I'm just saying, there's some good ones in there, no question. But it seems like it's more like, how about 2 out of 3 are lopsided? Fair?
100%.
And I don't know why. So it's just me making an observation with nothing to back it up other than numbers here. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
To a rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down at his own 48-yard line. Josh Tupu. And, uh-oh. Well, we saw last week, and he went down. He got up. Was wobbly. The training staff comes out. Last week, it looked for all the world. Everybody thought head injury, concussion, passed the protocol, came back second half, led him to a victory.
And right as he goes down, you could see both his hands. You just get right away, you get concerned. They're bringing a stretcher out right now.
Talking to our sports medicine analyst, Mike Ryan tells us when he sees that, and he's watching this as you are as well, it's a neurological response to head trauma. So they're stabilizing him right now.
Yeah, you can hear the whole stadium yelling, Tua.
That was on Amazon last night. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit. They handled it right. Fortunately, Matt was not on the call. He had been yelling right away for people to be fired on the air. Wait a little bit. No? Maybe the Yankees ought to sit Judge tonight. What do you think?
Not quite yet.
Why not? They've already clinched. What does he need to prove?
He's got one more home run to hit.
Well, geez, I hope for your sake it's in the postseason. There weren't any last year.
In terms of the regular season, he's got one more home run to hit.
Yeah, but you need one in the postseason. He didn't hit any in the postseason last year.
Well, yes, that needs to happen too.
I mean, it's money time now.
Yeah.
I'd sit him all 5 games. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Actually, I guarantee you he will hit 62 tonight because I'm not going to be able to watch it.
You are too easy a target.
I know.
You get so emotional. Right?
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.